open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes because we want to see you. We want to see you. We want to know you. We want to taste you, Lord. We want to know you as you know us. We want to press in, not by might, but because we know you're drawing us into that place of intimacy, Lord. You're drawing us, Lord, and we want to see you, Lord. We want to perceive every portion of you, Lord, so that it bursts forth from us, Lord, in praise, in worship, in glorifying your name, Lord. That everything we become in perceiving you, in seeing you, in comprehending all that you are, everything that we become is a vessel of your glory, Lord. Is a vessel of your praise and of your worship, Lord. And tonight, Lord, we want to declare that that's what we want to do this year, Lord. Is see you clearer so that we can represent you clearer to the world. Represent you as a vessel of light, a vessel of love. And it's by your grace and your grace alone that we are saved, Lord. It's by your grace alone that we can say that we put our trust in the living God. Because he has opened our eyes to see all that he is. He's opened our eyes to see all that he has done and all that he still plans on doing. We thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord and Savior, Redeemer of this broken vessel, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to do a traditional message this morning. This is literally, don't look at it as a message. This is an interlude. Because we're going to carry on worshiping in a couple of minutes. Because that's what we're going to do tonight. This is the first of many. We want to start off the year and say, we want to have evenings which is dedicated to celebrating the name of Jesus Christ. To celebrate everything that he's done in our lives for us and through us. The world often blinds us of the good things he's actually done through us. We get so focused, and you can have a seat because I'm going to take minutes, but band, I'm going to ask you to stay and play right through. This is going to be a bit different, I said. And the reason I want them to keep on playing is because I'm going to be preaching out of Psalms this evening. And like I said, it's not so much a message as much as just a little interlude. And what I want to speak on tonight is just this thing of celebration. This little interlude is all about just getting back to what is the crux of all of this? What is the first love? We see in Revelations, we don't want to forget our first love. But what is that first love? How do we stay connected to that first love? You know, and it's interesting, obviously, about a message for those of you who saw my tweet. It was called Party On. I just thought it was a catchy name. But more than that, it's about celebration. About celebration in honor of, more than anything else. Obviously, you do get those parties where the whole point of the party is to see how drunk you can get. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those parties that are actually celebrations for achievements, for honoring someone. And the reason I want to share a psalm, I've been reading psalms now for the last while, and specifically the Old Testament. I've been spending a lot of time just going through it, just from start to finish. And it's amazing, just a couple of principles that jump out at me. And one of those things is just honor. Everything is honor. Honor of our Lord, our living God. Honor our brothers and sisters, because in so doing, we're honoring the Lord. Honor those who've gone before us, who've run this race. Honor them, because in so doing, we honor the Lord. Because in so doing, we recognize the fact that no one could run this race without God's hand on them. And by dishonoring them, withholding that honor, that celebration of what God has done in life, we're dishonoring the hand of God. He's moving. Him doing things, him actively involved in calling us by name. And obviously looking at Psalms, obviously we very often abuse how we use scripture, and Psalms can be so beautiful, and just reading a little bit up on it, Psalms is literally the worship songs of Israel. Psalms is what, like, we're singing the lyrics on. If they had easy worship in David's time, they would have the Psalms on easy worship. That's what they were used for. And the Psalms get misused because we often try and teach doctrine out of it. And that's not what they're about. All they are is to worship and glorify and bring our hearts before God. You've got your Thanksgiving Psalms. You've got your Psalms of sorrow. It's just, Lord, I'm broken right now, Lord. And I'm pouring out this brokenness in front of you. That's all the Psalm is about. You've got your celebration psalms. You've got all these different forms of psalms, but all it is, it's people's hearts reaching out to God. And we misuse it because the psalms are pretty much just an aid for us. How do we express this worship? I don't know about you. When I first gave my life to the Lord, I didn't know how to tell people what was going on in me. In fact, I pushed all my friends away because I just mumbled through things and had no idea what, but I knew something had happened. And the psalms, pretty much just words, that heart flowing out to God. So we look at, how do we speak to God? How do we do this? How do we cry in front of God? How do we get angry in front of God for the unfairness of this life? How do we do that? And we see David obviously wrote something like 70-odd of the Psalms. And we see that often in the unfairness. Lord, I'm king, but I have to be stuck in this cave and pouring that out to God. And then in the Psalms, there was also a picture, how do we speak about God? Because that's what it's about when we lift up his name. That's what praise is. That's when we honor someone. We're speaking about them, about their achievements, the magnificence of who they are. Psalms, beautiful pictures of that. Lessons we can learn on how to do that. Before we correct people, or you're not praying right, have I gone to the handbook the Lord has given me? Through his grace, he's not just left me like a floundering fish out of water. He's directed everything. Even my thoughts that I can't make sense of. He said, this is what you're feeling. This is what you're thinking. There's nothing new under the sun. All those who have gone before you've run this race have experienced and felt the same thing. Allow me to direct your words. Holy Spirit, direct my words. Direct my thoughts so that I can unload and get rid of this thing that if I don't get rid of it, it's going to turn into poison. Lord, how do I do this? You know, and it is a thing with celebration, and this is what we're going to go into again a little bit later, is it's a song. Who's ever gone to a party and there hasn't been music playing? It's not much of a party. I think even if you go to, like, funerals sometimes, afterwards, they got songs playing in the background. Okay? I haven't been to too many funerals, thank goodness. But, you know, there's songs. There's songs at the funeral. There's fellowship. Celebration, there is fellowship, there's connecting with long-lost friends, or just chatting about a week with a friend that's walked the journey with you. There's dance. There are dances at parties. Some of us don't always join in, but we like to watch other people do what we maybe can't do. But there's definitely dance. There's joyous activity. There's expression of a joy in honor of someone else. But that's what a party is. There's joy being expressed. I'm talking about a healthy party. I'm not talking about those other parties, because we all know those other parties. Those parties tend to be to hide stuff. And the Psalms are full of joyous expressions of joy. You know, like I said, there are other Psalms about pain and hurt, but then there are those Psalms that just expresses joy. And I'm going to read quickly one of the Psalms that I want to speak on tonight. Like I said, this is an interlude. I'm not going to be too long, so I'm going to fly through this. And I don't want you to focus too much on, I'm not speaking doctrine tonight. It's not too much in-depth theology. I'm just going to highlight what this psalm really spoke to me about. And what David is saying here, which, just reminded me of those first loves. So you can follow up there. Got the same translation, which I'm reading from here. I will extol you. Exalt. Other translations talk about exalt. O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His anger, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We love that part. We sing it so often. Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Another one we love. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks. Thanks to you forever. Amazing. And I read this and it just, for me, just highlighted so many of the things we forget. And so many of the things actually that are so easy to celebrate God about. If you look at the first three verses, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. We forget it's so easy to exalt Lord, to lift him up and celebrate his name because he saved us. He has saved us. We forget that. It's the easiest thing to celebrate him for is because he has saved us. Other translations talk about that you have drawn me up. You have drawn me out. The same sort of draw that you do from a well when you draw water up and you pull that bucket up. And we forget that before God drew us up, we were immersed in sin. Even if you lived a pretty good life, and like I said, I was a good person, but I was so deeply embedded in my sin, and I couldn't help it because I was sinful. I was a sinful creature by nature. I was born into it thanks to Opa Groeiki, Adam. I was born that way, so I was immersed in it, and here comes God, and to remind myself, that's where I was. And he drew me out of it, as immersed in it as I was, he drew me out of it. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. You took this broken vessel and you made it whole. The only thing that was running out of me was pain and hurt that I tried to cover up with whatever it might be, whatever vice it might be, alcohol, drugs, relationship, sex, makeup, whatever it was. I was just leaking and you healed me. Oh Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. And we see often in the Psalms, they call it parallelism. Parallelism, for those of you who did Bible school, is where they would just highlight a point by almost saying it twice. Two different ways, but they're actually saying the same thing. And from the grave, other translations translate it as Sheol. Don't ask me how you say that properly. Other translations translated as hell. And I should not go down to the pit. And like all of us, he didn't just draw us out of our sinful nature. He drew us out from our one-way ticket to eternal death, eternal damnation. We don't like to hear it very often, but it's so important we don't forget that we've been saved from hell. We've been saved from the fire of hell. And the more we remember, Lord, yes, my life's not perfect right now. Yes, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not earning as much. I'm not doing as much. But I will exalt your name because first and foremost, I'm not going to be separated from you for all eternity. I will have life in abundance for all eternity because you chose to draw me out. Let's not forget that. Let's exalt his name because of it. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And sing praise, O saints of his. Sing praise, you've been drawn out of damnation. Sing praise, saints, the set apart ones, the excellent ones. I know Pastor Heinrich preached on it this morning also. Saints, you've been set apart. You've been drawn out of all those other translations of the previous verse talks about you've drawn me out of all those who are going down to the pit. There were a whole lot of us, and you chose to pull me out. Yes, DJ? Sorry. I'll walk like this from now on. I'll do the other one. Okay, a brief interlude with my interlude message. Where was I? You're drawn out, you saints, you've been set apart. Can you hear me? Am I on? Yes, I'm on. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Give thanks. Every time we think of him, every time we think of the point, of the thing that, yes, I have been saved. Just thinking of your name, Jesus, and I just want to give you thanks. Before I even ask for anything, before I ask for a new car, before I ask for whatever it is that I think I need, first and foremost, I'm going to start with saying thank you that Jesus, you are God eternal, made flesh to bear my sin and my shame. And in so doing, remember that his anger is for a moment, but his favor is for life. In the sense of his anger is there. His anger was poured out on the cross. We see a full expression of that anger towards sin, toward what was brought into the world, that separation, because all he wants is to be connected. That's why he was walking in the garden with Adam. He wanted to be connected. He wanted to have that family. He wanted to have someone in his image be transformed even more into his likeness to ultimately rule and reign with him. And his anger because of sin entering the world, and he pours it out on the cross for us. Yes, all of us at some point are catching a glimpse of that anger because he hates that separation, that wall, and he's bashing at that wall of sin constantly. And we look at the world and sin is ripe in the world. Sin is destroying people, left, right, and center. But his anger was poured out so that we could understand that his favor is for life when we understand that the anger was poured out on the cross. And we say, Jesus, thank you. But because of that the anger that was poured out on you, the separation that needed to take place, but the finality of your death and resurrection, I can experience the favor. I can step away from the wrath and the anger pouring out. And I can understand, just as the psalmist say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Just as when that darkness is there, your vision is obscured. You don't know what lies ahead. You don't know what is before you. There's a point of when darkness is around you, there's nothing. You cannot see, where am I going? What lies ahead of me? Just like that state of hopelessness. Without hope, there's nothing before you. And so many of those people who should be sitting here, like we say so often, people that should be sitting here are people who are still in that nighttime, in the darkness, have no hope. They do not see what lies ahead of them. They do not know where they're going. They cannot know. But just as the sun comes up in the morning and highlights the environment, highlights the beauty of the mountains and the path and the roads and the direction, so too the sun had to be lifted up. And in so doing, he gave us a hope. He allowed us to see what lies ahead of us, the hope of our eternal salvation. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes when the sun is lifted up. Because of that anger that was poured out on the cross. Sing praise and give thanks. That's why we sing praise. That's why we give thanks. Because of the morning. And when you become that saint, you are dancing in the morning. Let's not forget that. Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain and stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I spent some time on this, and I was, okay, Lord, this now is a bit tricky in comparison with the other verses. But then I was just struck by how many of us can see it as being favor when God humbles us. See the favor that we have received when God humbles us, because in so doing, he ensures that the place he has caused us to stand, the prosperity he's allowed us to obtain, to glorify his name, is ultimately can only stand and can only stand strong when it's founded on him. David's saying here, and some of the commentators believe this is just at that point when he took the census and God was displeased with him for taking the census, because it was almost as if David was saying, look how much I've achieved. Look how many people I've got under my rule, and God had to humble him. And in this point, we almost see David reveling. He's like, oh, you know, I said, you know, when I was prosperous, I shall never be moved, but Lord, you humbled me, and thank you, Lord. Because in that favor, I'm reminded that it's because of you that I can stand. Because of you that this mountain has been lifted up, of which I'm standing on top. And the reason I'm standing on top is because then I can point to you. So when people look at me and my prosperity, all they see is the favor that I found in your eyes. The favor and the magnificence that you have brought, Lord. I cried to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. Lord, let me continue to live so that my life can continue to praise you. Let me continue to live because I want to praise you for all eternity. And this is where I believe that going down the phrase, I go down to the pit, first to what, Lord, save me. I don't want to be in hell, because when I'm in hell, I cannot praise you. I want to praise you for eternity. Draw me up into your presence so I can stand before your throne in heaven in eternity, because I want to continue to praise you. Give me life and life in abundance. Give me the Jesus Christ living water life. Because Lord, I don't want to be saved because I don't want to die. I want to save so I can continue praising you. So I can continue to speak your goodness. As I'm saying this, some of you might be thinking, I don't do that. You know what? I don't do that. Surprised. I'm not that perfect. Wow. But that's what the Psalms are there for. That's what the Word of God is there for. That's what His Spirit is for, to remind us to make that mind shift as easy as stepping into a place of thanksgiving when we don't feel we really want to give thanksgiving. David, in the midst of his prosperity, having all of those things, is thankful that the Lord humbled him, that he didn't lose sight of the fact that he needs to continue to praise God for all the goodness he has done, that he has saved him for eternal damnation, that he saved him and given him life and life in abundance. Everything he's achieved is because of that. So his supplication isn't so much about, Lord, I just want to live because there's so much more I want to do on this earth. I still want to get that car. I still want to, you know, do this. I want to go on that boat cruise. No, no, it's Lord, save me from death, because I still want more time to be able to praise your name. Save me from death. Save me from this car accident. Save me from whatever it might be that comes to take my life. Save me from myself, my own sinful nature, so that I can have more time in your presence to praise your name. How much do we take for granted with the time we have? The time we have where we can verbalize his goodness. The time we have to bring glory and honor to his name. I'm almost done. And we're going to worship a bit and we're going to put it into practice. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. We used to love this verse, but we know what it means. Do we walk in that? Very often we don't. And the reason I say that is because there aren't more people who from my work is just like, I want to go wherever you're going. I don't know if you've ever seen, sometimes you have on movies, or if you go to the, for those of you who've been to the, what are those parties, the trance parties, people see someone else being ecstatic, but not so much ecstatic as just being so high on their drugs. They are very quick to be like, I want what that guy has. Where did he get what you have? I want that drug because I can see it. You're just like in this space. Even though it's temporary and next morning they feel like rubbish and they have to wait for the next high. It's not a continual thing. People see that and they want that. How many people come up to us and be like, Nadia, I want what you want? And this isn't a condemnation thing. This is a reminder of the fact that is what we have. That is authority we have that goes beyond just what we say. That people should be able to look at us and be like, it's Nadia, I want what you have. What did you drink this morning? You got a little something in your coffee before you come? A little brofi? No. And you can be like, no, no, none of that. There is a spirit inside of me, but it's not vodka. Yeah. To be able to say that, to you, all you're doing is giving expression to the gladness that is in you. Lord, you've turned my expression of sadness into expression of gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. To the end that all the success I have, every step that I take out of the brokenness and the heartache and the hurt. And this isn't a thing of you can do it when you're 100% fixed. That's not what it is. David, I can tell you now, through most of his Psalms, he had points of being really stuffed up. You know? And that's not what it is. It's but that every step I take, from glory to glory, every step I take, people see it and they're like, I want it. How did you get by that? How did you quit smoking? How did you were so irritable beforehand? What happened? Have you got some medication? What doctor are you going to? I'm like, I'll tell you about the doctor I'm going to. And he came for you just as he came to me. And this is the thing, he does house visits. You don't have to make an appointment with him or whatever. When you need him, he's there. To the end that my glory, all the success I have, all the victories I have in my life, all of those things can praise and worship and point towards you. Other translations talk about that the praise might come to you. So in other words, that when people see what is going on in your life, when people, and there's no debate about religion. that light, that spark, that glory which you've achieved in His presence, that He has granted on you, that glory to glory. There's no debate about religion. I want that. Because just being close to you, it feels like it's filling a hole that I have. What is it? What is it? And that's when the love just flows out, because you understand what it is that you have. Oh Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. I will give thanks to you forever, whenever, wherever. I will give thanks to you. When I'm in your presence, when I come, I'm not going to pretend, Lord, that I feel 100% every time I come to church. I'm not going to pretend. But my giving praise to you is not pretense, Lord. My giving praise to you is pushing through my circumstance. I actually want to cry because of disappointment and let down more than I want to sing right now, but I will sing through the tears. It might sound a bit bubbly with all the water running in my mouth, but I will do it. I'll be like a fish singing to you, drowning in my own tears and sorrow, but from that, I know joy comes in the morning. Joy comes when I see you, Jesus Christ, lifted up. And I want you lifted up. Not just now, not just tonight. I want you lifted up in my life, because I'm tired of getting into endless debates with that atheist at work. I'm tired. Lord, I want the glory which you're giving me to convince him. I want the love and the light and the peace and all those wonderful fruits that Holy Spirit you want to project out of my life. I want those to convince him. Like you say in your word, Lord, that the ignorant, Lord, the pagans will be ashamed because of what they're saying about me, because of the fruit that I'm bringing forth, because of the life that I'm living. The life that I'm living that always points to something far more eternal, far more beautiful, someone far more beautiful. And I'm going to ask you to stand. Like I said, this is just an interlude. I'm going to ask you to stand right now. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And that's what it's about. How often do you go back to that point of, Lord, as much as my life sucks now, as much as I said the wrong thing at work, as much as I did the wrong thing, Lord, I know that I'm saved. I can go back to that moment when I saw your face for the first time, when I had that encounter with your Spirit for the first time, when Holy Spirit, you just did these amazing things in my life. And I know I've cooled down a little bit over the time, but I don't want to settle for just being cool. Lord, I know I'm not lukewarm. The fact that you are here now, that you've been led by His Spirit, that you pray, that you do all these things, majority of you aren't lukewarm. But you've cooled down a bit. The reason I say you're not lukewarm, because God hasn't spit you out. And I don't believe He will, because your desire, I know, that's why you're here. Your desire is to get that connection again. That desire is for that umbilical cord to be there, so you can be fed of His love and His grace and His mercy. That's why you're here. But sometimes we cool off a bit. We cool down a bit. And we get to that cooling point when we forget how much He's already done in our lives. We forget that I'll give Him thanks because of the cross, because it's already been paid for. And some of you might be like, oh, but that's cliche. And I love using cliches, because they only become cliches when they are true. And the truth is, His anger was but for a moment on that cross. And you being saints of the Most High, when you called on His name and said, Lord, save me. I want to give my life to you. I cannot do this on my own. When you did that, you stepped into that place of being set apart. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but the reason it doesn't feel like it sometimes is because we forget to just say thank you. We forget when He heals us of that leprosy, of that ailing, chronic pain and hurt, we forget to go back to Him. Constantly go back and just go at His feet again and be like, Lord, can I just cry here with you? Can I just cry with you, Lord, because I'm so tired? Lord, can I just shout here in front of you, because I'm so angry, but I just want to get it out. But I know this is a safe place. Can I just do that, Lord? Give thanks for when He's humbled you. For when you set your heart on something so magnificent and so great because you believe you finally got to that point where you can achieve it. You finally got the skills and ability to achieve it. And then it's been taken out from under you. And that humbling thing of, I haven't quite made it. No, none of us have made it. Jesus hasn't come back yet again. So we haven't made it. Thank Him for that, because that is favor. He hasn't allowed you to stray off after that idol. He's intervened before that's got to that point, before He's had to open up the ground and swallow you, like He did the Israelites with a golden calf. Thank Him for that. that it hurt for a moment. It did hurt. But as reaping an eternal reward for you. An eternal reward. And ask God to turn your heart, if you're not there yet, to be in that place where all you want to do is praise His name. You cannot speak ill of Him. You cannot speak bad of Him. You cannot speak bad of the brothers and sisters God has placed in your life because they represent the image of Jesus Christ. You cannot speak ill of your leadership because that's the easiest place to direct our misfortune. Yes, I'm not happy in this church, or I'm not this, or I'm not that because of leadership. Honor whoever it is who God has placed above you. In so doing, you'll make those crooked paths straight. You'll start getting favor where you shouldn't be getting favor. Because that's how we see God operate. He doesn't give favor to glorify us. He gives favor because we're His children, and in so doing, we reflect His love to the rest of the world as in need of a father. So I'm going to end off now, and before we go into another song, I'm going to ask the band, we're just going to jam a bit in the background gently. And I'm going to ask you to continue what I've started now. I've given you an introduction to the message. And I'm going to ask that you complete the message. That you continue the ministering to us in the word. And I'm going to ask you to do exactly what David does there. Come give thanks. I'm going to ask you to step to the front. Be bold. Be bold. This is a safe place. You don't have to use the mic if you don't want to. But this is a safe place. This is where we get equipped. And sometimes the equipping, just like in any good school, comes in the form of practical. This is a safe place. Allow God to loosen up all those words you wanted to say. And I'm going to ask Heinrich to come stand in front of you also. And if you're unsure about how to word what it is you're feeling, how to use it to be edifying, although it might be painful for you, God wants to turn even your pain into a word of edification for the body. I'm going to ask you to speak to Heinrich and just help him, ask him to help you just word it. Or maybe you just want to say it to one of us in private. That's also okay. That's also okay. No pressure. However you feel you want to do it. But if you feel you haven't actually said in front of people, in front of witnesses, that I am saved and I'm thankful for it. I was an immense sinner, except maybe for the day you gave your life to Him. You haven't said in front of people because it's too difficult to say it at work, and I get that. But to get that out and not to feel ashamed that you feel like you're hiding it. To say, I was a sinner, a terrible sinner. And because of His grace, He has saved me. I've been born again, born from on high. His Spirit dwells in me. I'm going to ask you to verbalize that. That's what we're going to do. So you're going to continue this message, verbalizing your thankfulness and celebrating His name. We're praising tonight, people. We're worshiping His name tonight. We're giving thanks tonight. Just take a couple of minutes and just consecrate your mind and your heart to Him.
Hi, good evening. I just want to just bring thanks and just let you know what a great God we serve. It's a long story of how the Lord brought me closer to Him. That's a story for another day. But I went through a hard time. Well, for me it was hard. I had an operation on my knees 2 years ago. And I've been struggling with pain, etc. cartilage wouldn't come right. I had all the cartilage removed. And I was walking in pain every day, having a very physical job. It was very, very tough for me. I've been up here all the time for prayer. I've had a hard time, and sort of God, I think through this, I know through this, taught me to rely on Him, not our own strength. This was really a tough time for me. And then I just basically had to accept, I can't do it on my own. And then 9th of November last year, after many times of coming up for prayer, Heinrich prayed with me once again, and he told me he saw a picture of me running again, but I've got to step out in faith. He said, Gavin, you've got to step out in faith. And then my wife and myself went down to the beach, and basically I'll start running again. Cartilage restored after 2 years of walking in pain, no more pain. Just to let you know how well that I know it is, Deb and myself went to the top of Helderberg, right at the top. I've done 3 park runs now. And God is good. So hang in there. If you think you're going through a tough time, it's for your own good. Believe me. Thank you.
Hallo julle. Ek wil net ek weet nie regtig waar om te begin nie, want daar's soveel dinge wat die Here in my lewe gedoen het al. Soveel wat ek voor dankbaar is. Van die dag wat hy my kom, korrekt het by die huis. As a lang story, maar daar's 2 dinge wat ek nou graag wil noem. Die een ding is, soos Kevin gesê het, wat die Here sy lichaam kan aanraak het, precies dieselfde ding het met my gebeur. Ek het in 2 ongeluk in 2 dae na mekaar gehad, en my rug was baie beseer. Ek het 4 keer week dokter geloop, 2 keer maand specialist, en hulle het later gesê, hulle is niks wat hulle kon doen nie. Hulle wil my, voor 30 was, wil my op aftreeg, wat ek niks meer kan gewerk het. En ek het eenvoudig net kerk toe gekom, en om vir my, mense het vir my gebid, en het gehelp vir die eerste keer, en tyk ja na, was het net weer selfde. Maar een keer het my gevoel, hier sê, kom, ons staan net hiervoor. Iets het gebeur, ek het die dag van hier die kerk gestap, huis toe gestap, net dankie vir die Here gesê. Langs die pad kom ek achter, iets op die pad geleen, toe tel ek net op, net gebik en optel en aangeloop, toe kom ek achter, ek het iets vir die eerste keer gedoen, in 2 jaar, wat vir my fysies onmoontlik was. Ek kon gebik het, ek kon beweeg het, ek kon alles doen sonder pyn. Ek was completely healed. En ek is so dankbaar vir dit. En die tweede ding wat ek wil noem. Ek is vir 'n paar jaar gehad ek in al deur 'n moeilike tyd. En soos party van julle weet, het ek en my vrou, ons het tawe tyd gehad. Het was taf. Het het regtig op die punt gekom wat gelyk het is klaar. As het gestop, daar was niks wat niemand kon gedoen het nie. Om die waar te sê, ons het op die punt van skei gestaan. En vorig net 'n paar weke terug, net toe ek op die punt was en vader sê, dit is voorbij, ons kan nie aangaan nie. Toe die Heer gekom, en hy het net iets kon doen, hy het net met haar gepraat, en hy het haar hart aangeraak, en sy het haar die Heer kan gee, en ons stap nou op 'n nieuwe pad saam, ons stap eenvoudig saam, voor die Heer, en ons prys sy naam saam as 'n gesin, en ek is net so dankbaar, en ek gee nie al die eer aan God, want is hy wat het gedoen het, want ek met my kragte was op, niks wat ons as mens gedoen het, kon dit gedoen het, ons kracht was op, maar die Heere, want het moeilik gaan, is die Heere daar, en hy is getrou, en hy is so lief ons, en hy doen die onmoontlike, elke dag in ons leven, en ek wil hom met alle eer gee. Amen.
Thank you. I've been a Christian since yay high, and I was baptized when I was 12, and for a long time it kind of bugged me that I didn't have a great testimony. Like I didn't have one of those, I was like really bad and then really good. But then God reminded me recently, and it's just stuck with me, that every day he saves me from myself. Every single day, because I was spirit-filled and baptized and all the good things when I was 12, yet I had close calls with anorexia, alcohol addiction, depression, bad relationships, and all that while loving God. But he's a jealous God, and he won't let those things derail you. And now again today, I'm just so grateful that God is a jealous God, and that he loves us enough to take away dangerous things from us. And so yeah, I just want to give God the glory, because I think, I don't have children, but I imagine if you have a child and they're playing with something really dangerous, like maybe a blender that's on, or a razor or something, you rip that child away, And obviously the child's really unhappy about that, like I am right now. But God is good, and he does it because he loves us. So I just want to give honor to God that even when we don't like him for it, he loves us and he will keep us safe.
I have recently been very fearful, extremely. And my cell group knows about this, and they've prayed for me about it. And I live alone, and there's been some breaking recently, and it's been crazy. My mind would play just tricks on myself, and I would be so scared that I would sleep with the light on. And I'm 26 years old, and I'm thinking, this is crazy, Sonia. What are you doing? And I live in a double-story house, and in the evenings, if I would forget something downstairs, I would just not go and get it. I would have to. Even if it's my phone, if it's anything I want, I would have to live without it because I'm not going downstairs because something might happen. And it was getting to a place where I was really even too fearful to just be myself in my own home. And my friends, they prayed for me, and my cell group, they did. And it's been coming a long time. I'd had to recite scriptures just to be able to fall asleep. I'd have to sing songs about God behind me and in front of me and beside me just to be able to get up in the morning while it's still dark. And the Lord, in last week and this week, has really just, he's just come and opened my eyes, and I've the most complete peace walking in my home. And I would stand there and I would think, what was I thinking? I was too afraid to close windows in the evening. I was too afraid to look outside because someone's going to look at me. Some crazy thoughts. And now I have the most complete peace, and I know that the Lord was working in my heart, because with his fear, there cannot be love. And I know that's something that I still have to work on for a long time. But I just want to praise him for just giving me the peace back in my own home, where I can say that it's not of the world, it's of God, and I can have peace, because my God is far greater than any fear, anything that can hurt us in the world. And God is good, and that's all we need to know, that his plans for us is just good.